ॐ ज्ञानचिमिरन्दस्य ज्ञानञ्जना शलाकाय चक्षुर्मिलितां येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवसदि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे It's very important to understand the nature of performing bhakti in the material world. In the spiritual world, devotional service is the natural activity because there's no intervention by Krishna's illusory energy. That illusory energy is coming from Krishna, yet it has the purpose of blocking Krishna from our sight. Just like the clouds are produced by the sun evaporates water from the ocean and clouds are formed. Although the clouds are the production of the sun, they block the sun for those who are situated in such a way that they're subject to the clouds' blocking influence. However, for those who live above the clouds have no effect. We should understand what causes our feeling of perhaps tension and discomfort in the material world as we perform devotional service. We are performing bhakti in the material atmosphere. This is an incompatible situation. Of course, people argue that since this is the material atmosphere, let's just all be materialists. That's the natural thing. Just be the body. Just think that you are your material desires. Become one with your sense objects and life will go on happily. Now, there's a basic problem with that theory in that as spirit soul, we don't belong in the material atmosphere. So you can't be natural as a materialist. Therefore, the devotee endures a little bit of preliminary discomfort as your natural spiritual identity becomes established. Those of you who know something about alternative or natural medicine know there's such a thing as a healing crisis that when you take natural medicine, it can appear for a while that you become sicker. But actually, you're getting better as the body reestablishes its natural equilibrium. So materialists like to point out when devotees are having a little bit of an uncomfortable time. Ah, just see, you don't look blissful. Just see, you have some anxieties. They don't understand the purificatory process and how a devotee will endure temporary inconveniences for the greater goal and the greater good. What do you get for enduring the kicks of Maya as a materialist? Your only reward is repeated birth and death. That's all. You do get something for your materialistic tolerance of material nature. What is that? Mrityu samsara vartmani, Lord Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita. You'll get another chance to waste your life, and it may not be in the human species. And what do you get for tolerating a little temporary discomfort as a devotee while you're going about reasserting your eternal spiritual identity? From the very beginning of your bhakti process, you can perceive the ultimate goal. You may not be situated in the ultimate goal all the time, but you can clearly perceive the goal. Whereas what can you perceive when you're situated in the material energy? All you see are the false promises of Maya, which are never fulfilled. So it's a cheating process, a cheating lifestyle, in that you become cheated while you're cheating others. But in bhakti, clearly you see the goal. You're seeing Krishna right away. He's there. You see him as the deity. You see him as Bhagavad Gita. You hear him as the holy name. By hearing the holy name, you're seeing Krishna through the ears. You're tasting Krishna with your tongue. Bhakti Yoga offers complete sensory experience of the Supreme Personality of Godhead just by smelling the incense and flowers offered to the Lord. Therefore, even a neophyte gets confirmation of the ultimate goal. You see the goal and you become inspired. Let me sacrifice more and more for that goal. There's nothing hidden. Everything is there and will be revealed more and more as you progress. What is the secret mysticism of bhakti? The confidential knowledge? Every day you are saying, Guru Mukha Padma Vakya Chitete Koryaikya Arma Koryavanas. Our only desire is to have our consciousness purified by the words coming through dissipate succession. We have no other aspiration. That is the most confidential knowledge, how to be a genuine disciple. Those who are genuine disciples, Krishna becomes pleased upon them and reveals more and more of the spiritual world. Yasya deve para bhaktir yata deve tata kara tasyaite katita yata prakashante mahatmana. The Upanishads say that for one who has the deep implicit faith in the Lord and the spiritual master, all the meanings of Vedic knowledge become revealed. Prakashante, just like when you turn the light switch on in a dark room, when the light comes on, you can see everything. What makes bhakti possible in the material world? You're accepting guidance. When you accept guidance, Krishna becomes pleased, and Krishna illuminates your path back to Godhead. Because that is Krishna's system. Bhagavad Gita clearly acknowledges that bhakti can be intricate and complicated in the material world. The example is Arjuna himself. He's right there on the chariot with Krishna, yet he's having difficulty. Of course, this is by the Lord's arrangement. Nevertheless, even Krishna is pleasantly amused. Therefore, the Lord smiles. What is Krishna thinking when he smiles? Just see, Arjuna is right here on the chariot with me. He's by my side, and still he's falling into Maya. Just see the power of my illusory energy. Now, that falling into Maya by Arjuna was Krishna's arrangement. Yet still, Krishna himself is noticing the power of his own illusory energy. My dear devotee Arjuna, my eternal companion, just look, he's falling into Maya, he's right here with me. So then Krishna speaks Bhagavad Gita. In other words, Arjuna accepts guidance. That is what the speaking of Bhagavad Gita is, the accepting of guidance by a humble student. Shishyasteyam shahimam tam prapanyam. Arjuna says, now I'm your shishya, I'm your disciple, I'm a soul surrendered unto you. Please instruct me. From that point on, Krishna, the supreme counselor, takes care of his counseling. When there's guidance, then you can see. Otherwise, the path of bhakti can seem very complicated in this material world. What do I do? What is my duty? How do I cope with this? How do I balance that? But if you accept Krishna's system of guidance, then everything becomes clear. We never say that bhakti is meant to be executed on your own. Even the greatest souls accepted guidance. Lord Chaitanya demonstrated by accepting Ishwar Puri. And the spiritual master of Ishwar Puri, Madhavendra Puri, gave a prominent example through his two disciples, Ramachandra Puri and Ishwar Puri. One received the seed of ecstatic love of God, which grew into the tree of Lord Chaitanya's praying. The other, Ramachandra Puri, was condemned by his spiritual master, and his spiritual life withered, and he became situated in impersonalism. This accepting of guidance and the attitude by which we accept guidance is so crucial in our spiritual life, because bhakti is personal. Bhakti is personalism. You're not taking initiation into the impersonal Brahman. You're taking initiation into the line of persons coming from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is Adi Guru, the original spiritual master. And then the line goes to Lord Brahma, who is Adi Kavi, the original professor of spiritual knowledge, and comes down today. So much of our spiritual progress depends on simply pleasing Krishna by accepting Krishna's system. That is personalism. Why should I accept guidance? Why should I consult? Because Krishna is pleased by that. That is personalism. Therefore, even the greatest souls would accept guidance to set the example, to show you what personalism is all about. Vidura approached Maitreya. Prichit Maharaj, who was actually on the same platform as Shukadeva Goswami, still approached and heard from Shukadeva Goswami. They're showing you personalism. This is Krishna's personal system. We'll honor that out of our desire to please the senses of the Lord. We should always keep this in mind, how to have a personal approach to personalism. Our bhakti runs into trouble when we have an impersonal approach to personalism. Here we are in the most personal process, and we can be quite impersonal at times. I'm not asking anyone. I'm just doing what I want to do. Who are those others? Why do I need to ask? I know what I'm doing. Generally, you see again and again that attitude brings about problems. But our pride is so great, we'll even deny that we're having these problems. No, no, it's just a temporary thing I'm going through. I still don't have to consult anyone. I'll fix it all myself. In this way, we go on and on, sink lower and lower. All because of this hardcore impersonalism that pervades our heart. We try to be impersonal, even within the most personal process of bhakti yoga. Once we understand that Krishna is a person, then we'll do everything to please that person. That person, Krishna, Adi Purusha, has his personal system. Therefore, the devotee takes shelter of Krishna's personal system. And in that way, the process of bhakti becomes easier within the material world. On the platform of the spiritual world, there's no impediment. Because the spiritual atmosphere is Satchitananda, the spirit soul is Satchitananda, you're home, at home in your natural atmosphere. You get a glimpse of that, generally speaking, when you go to your own home. Ideally, in your own home, in your own house, everything works for you. You can return from work and come to your own world, your home, where everything is meant for your pleasure, materially speaking. Your couch is there. Your television is there. Your home entertainment system is there. Your food is there. Of course, in a Krishna conscious home, Krishna is the center. And the householder thinks Krishna is the master of the home. the householder thinks that, as Bhakti Vinod Thakur says, I will be like a dog outside the door of the house, and I'll guard your family, Krishna. Bhakti Vinod Thakur is showing how to be the ideal dharmapati, the ideal husband, or the one in charge of the dharma in the home. I'll be like a dog outside guarding the door to your home where your family lives, Krishna. And Bhakti Vinod Thakur is saying that I'll certainly earn money. I'll work to earn money to support your family, Krishna. So that's a different kind of home. But roughly speaking, in the material sense, people have this illusory feeling of contentment and well-being in their own home. That is just a perverted glimpse of what it's like to be at home in the spiritual world. Your true home is where there is no intervening material energy. In the spiritual world, bhakti is in its natural atmosphere. Yet and still, that same bhakti can become so powerful, it will transform the material world. Therefore, Bhakti Vinod Thakur sings, Shuddha Bhakata Charanarenu, Bhajana Anukula. He's performing artik in his home, and he watches as his whole house turns into Vaikuntha. Now, this is the power that's there in bhakti. You may say, well, that's Bhakti Vinod Thakur, as far as us. It's another thing. Still, the point is there. This kind of power is there in bhakti. I was in Christchurch, and I met one young Indian man whose family had been acquainted with Krishna consciousness for several generations. And his great-grandfather knew Srila Prabhupada before Srila Prabhupada went to the USA. And so his great-grandfather told him that this sadhu was staying at our home in the early 60s, or sometime in the 50s. And we gave him, facility in our home. That is our way. That is our Indian tradition. And so there we had our home, and this sadhu was staying. And then one day, we heard him shouting. We all came running. What's happening? And the great-grandfather told his grandchild, the sadhu told us, I saw Krishna. Well, the family never forgot that. Well, this is an example how Krishna appears within the material world because of bhakti. That's what attracts him. And so often Srila Prabhupada would say that if you simply diligently follow his process that is given, one day you'll see Krishna. So he told one Sankirtan lady, you just go out on Sankirtan every day of your life, one day you'll see Krishna on the street. And he told another devotee, my godbrother, A.C. Bhakti Vaibhav Maharaj, you follow this process, you read my books diligently, you will see Krishna in his lifetime. So, that same assurance and confidence that Srila Prabhupada had, he's willing to pass to us. It is possible to experience the spiritual world within the material world, but we have to be very determined. And part of that determination means understanding the nature of material existence. It's bewildering, it's tricky, it's confusing. Don't think, I see everything the way it is, I understand everything clearly. Always have a healthy respect for the power of illusory energy to fool you. So that you'll confuse a snake for a rope and a rope for a snake. Therefore, guidance is required. Not simply because that's what Krishna likes, but also it's practically necessary. It's so easy to become bewildered in this world. To think, oh, I'm so spiritually advanced, I need to consult with no one. I'm experiencing such spiritual. This is an act. It's obvious. No. We should always remember Lord Chaitanya's attitude. Guru More Mukhadeki Karilo Shasam. My spiritual master, Ishwar Puri, told me, I'm a fool and I should chant Hare Krishna. This is Lord Chaitanya presenting the ideal example. Of course, New Age people don't like this. Oh, you Hare Krishnas are always pushing your ego down and berating yourselves. You're not asserting yourself properly in true spirituality. We are asserting ourselves in devotional service for Krishna's pleasure. There's no psychological damage by thinking, I am very unqualified, yet let me assert myself for serving Krishna. This paradox is bewildering to materialists. How a devotee can think, I have no good qualities, is simply the mercy of my spiritual master that I have anything that resembles good qualities. While at the same time, you assert yourself powerfully in bhakti. Materialists can't understand this. And why should we worry that materialists can't understand this? Bhakti is one thing, the Maya life is another. There's no way you're going to get around that point. You can scratch your head about it decade after decade, but that's just the way it is. Krishna Surya Sama Maya Hoy Andhakar. Krishna's like the light, Maya's like the darkness. Wherever there's light, there can't be darkness. That's just the way it is. Therefore, let us seriously take guidance in bhakti yoga and in this way cross over the ocean of material existence. That is the point, to cross over, not to remain drowning in the ocean of material existence. Now, particularly for those who are taking a Brahman initiation. Taking second initiation means you're supposed to demonstrate the activities of a Brahmana. It's not just all about sitting at a yajna and getting a thread around your neck and getting to count on your fingers when you say your mantra. No, it's about patan patan yajan yajan dana pratigraha. The Brahmana has six main activities. He studies the Vedic knowledge. He teaches others the Vedic knowledge. He worships the deity, and he teaches others to worship the deity. And he gives and receives charity. So those who are taking second initiation, you should, you must evidence Brahmana activities. Otherwise, what is the use? It's a farce. Never mind what happened in the past. So many devotees got quick second initiation, and then you never saw any Brahmana activities out of them. 6 months after initiation, that was it. Prabhupada himself noted this, and before his departure, he said that second initiation should be given out more strictly. If someone's not going to show Brahmana activities, why should they get second initiation? Doesn't mean they can't go back to Godhead. The Brahmana is meant to worship the deity and to educate others. Of course, to worship the deity and to educate others, you have to first educate yourself. So a Brahmana has an attachment for acquiring Krishna conscious knowledge and an attachment for teaching others that knowledge. The Brahmana is attached to worshiping the Lord and showing others how to worship the Lord. And giving and receiving charity. Sharing prasad is also charity. So this way, I hope that those who are taking second initiation will take it seriously. It's not like an automatic formality. Well, I've been here a little while after my first initiation. Okay, presto, time for number two. No. We don't want that happening. Of course, there's always going to be some rate of attrition. There's always going to be some who are falling away. But we're trying to do our best effort that those who take second initiation are serious about being Brahmanas. Sometimes we have to remind. We want to develop persons who can give spiritual guidance to others. That is very important. The whole world is starving for lack of spiritual guidance and spiritual counsel. Yesterday I was at Crossways, and for the first time I saw the top floor, floor number 3. And I was just amazed at the potential of such a facility for enlightening persons, counseling persons. I haven't been very many places where I've seen such a facility. For outreaching to people and giving them real understanding. And then you have such beautiful deities here. As soon as you start thinking the deities are a burden, they want to put me on the roster for doing some puja. No. Too much. Of course, every devotee has to take care of himself so that his Krishna consciousness goes on. You have to take care of your health. You have to take care of your own spiritual nourishment in terms of hearing and chanting. My point is not that. My point is never consider the deities to be a burden. Then you should know your consciousness has become polluted. It's almost to the point of, oh, those guys up on the altar. What do they want from me now? Srila Prabhupada gave the example in Sanskrit that instead of Sri Vigraha, the deity form of the Lord, you think this is Sri Galagraha. It's a burden in the throat that keeps you from breathing. A Brahmana is very eager to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And she's very eager to distribute Krishna conscious knowledge to others. And of course, a Brahmana is very clean. So let us keep these things in mind, and especially for those taking second initiation, understand the seriousness of it, and try your best to live a Brahmana lifestyle, even in this most polluted day and age. Second initiation is a chance to further refine your lifestyle amidst all the dirt of current living. And I hope that the Brahminical culture here will become even more firmly established. You're having your Bhakti Shastri courses. Keshava Guru is talking about next doing the Bhakti Vaibhav course. This is all very good. This is all what Srila Prabhupada desired. And we have to increase the outreach work here. You have to take on your shoulders the responsibility to give knowledge and educate the people of Melbourne. Not that every time there's a big gap in the roster, you call for the Kiwi connection. You have this big city here. How many million people in Melbourne? 4 million people waiting to understand Krishna. You have such a gorgeous facility. In my travels around the world, I've seen many properties. This facility you have in the city is just amazing. When there's compassion, then you will see the opportunities. A Brahmana cares. The Shastra describes, the Bhagavatam describes, that a Brahmana who doesn't reach out to others is like a leaky water pot. Gradually all his potency goes away because of selfishness, not reaching out to others. So let us further develop the Brahminical culture here of worshipping the deity, teaching, distributing to others. And of course, devotees are always very happy to distribute prasad. That is charity. If you have more than prasad to distribute, that's very nice. A brahmana never keeps more than he or she needs. If you get more than you need, you distribute it to someone else. That is a brahmana lifestyle. Thank you very much, Hare Krishna.